May our praises to God this morning be indeed a sweet, sweet sound to the ears of our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
This morning I will be speaking on the title, Our Savior is Born. Go spread the good news. This will be the last sermon I will be preaching on the series about sermons related to the birth of Christ and related to Christmas. And today we will be looking at Luke chapter 2, verse 36 to 38. Let us pray. Father, the hour has come, O Lord, for you to speak to us through the preaching of your word. As you have been speaking to us already through the songs, through the prayer, and through other items on today's program. Now, O God, speak to us from your infallible word. Speak to us, O Lord, from your inerrant word. Speak to us, O God, from your eternal word. Speak, O God, for your servants are listening. Speak, O God, that we may grab from this text a message that will be relevant for us today, as we are still in the season of Christmas. So God, we pray, speak to us through the exposition of this text, that your people might be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, we have been looking at the birth of Christ, beginning with when an angel announced the birth of John the Baptist, who was to be to prepare the way for the birth of Christ. For Christ, we have seen. We also looked at the scene where the angel came to Mary and announced the birth of Christ. We've also seen the scene where Christ was actually born in Bethlehem of Judea. And we are told, according to Luke chapter 2, that when these angels got this news about the birth of Christ, they hurried to Bethlehem of Judea and found the baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger, just as the angel had told them. And then they made known abroad all that which the angel told them concerning the baby. And the Bible says, all those who heard greatly marveled. He said, but not everyone received the news about Christ's birth as good news. Different people reacted differently about the news, about the fact that Christ was born. Today, we are going to establish that unlike people like Herod, who reacted to the fact of Christ's birth in a very negative way, that God expects us to respond to the reality of Christ's birth, the fact of Christ's birth, in a positive way, in a good way. Especially as we are running up this year and we are heading on into a new year, let us enter this new year with the reality of the birth of Christ, its purpose and its significance. And so we are going to look at one character in the Bible who reacted to the news about Christ's birth in a positive way. What she did. We're going to look at the life of a woman or a prophetess in the Bible called Anna. How Anna reacted when she came to the knowledge that the Savior has been born. And this is what our text will focus on this morning. Luke chapter 2, verse 36 to 38. If you would open to Luke chapter 2, verse 36 to 38, the Bible says, "And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem." So, before I get into the exposition of this text, let's just begin by giving some contextual knowledge. So we are told that when Jesus was born, according to the laws of Moses, he had to be taken to the temple for purification. And so Jesus was taken to the temple, and the presiding priest then, a man called Simeon, was glad to see the birth of Christ because God had told him that he would not see death until Christ was born. He welcomed Jesus in the temple. He prays for Jesus, and his heart is filled with joy. And the Bible tells us that there was another minister in the temple that day. Her name was Anna. But who was this Anna? And how did she react to the reality of Christ's birth? That's what we see in our text in verse 36. Verse 36 to 37 goes on to give us details as to who Anna was. The Bible said Anna was the daughter of a man called Phanuel, who was from the tribe of Asher. We are also told that Anna was married before for 7 years, and then after that she became widowed. And after she became widowed, she decided to dedicate her entire life to the service of the Lord. She spent day and night in the temple fasting and praying. And this text tells us that at that very hour where Simeon the priest was performing this purification rites according to the laws of Moses on Jesus, she walked in and she saw the Lord. She understood that Jesus was the Messiah. And verse 38 goes on to tell us what she did. The Bible says she began to give thanks to God. As she walked in the room, seeing the reality of the birth of Christ, why was she giving thanks? Because the long-awaited Messiah has been born. Now, she did not only give thanks. She did not only express her joy of the fact that the Messiah has been born. The text tells us she did something else. She began to speak of him. So she not only, prepared food and decorated our home and rejoiced at the fact that Christ was born and that the Messiah has been born, she did something more than that. She went and started speaking about of him, which means she could not contain the joy. She felt that others in the community needed to know that Christ indeed has been born. And the text goes on to tell us who she actually went to speak about the birth of Christ. She didn't go to everybody. The text says she went and spoke of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. Who are these people who were waiting for the redemption of Israel? Just a little brief history so you can understand this in context. Now, it is believed that the Romans captured Israel somewhere around 663 BC. And when the Romans captured Israel, they imposed very strict laws on Israel. As a matter of fact, they defiled the Jewish customs of kingship and appointed a man called Herod, a man who was only half Jew, to be the king of Israel, or of Judah. And Herod was appointed to be a stooge to the Roman government. Herod didn't really care about the religious well-being of Israel. He only cared about his political interests. And so Herod collaborated with the Roman government to oppress the Jews. And so times were really hard for the Jews. It was now like a survival of the fittest. If you don't belong to the political system, then you will be smashed by the political system. And so different sects began rising up within the rank and file of the Jewish people, who leaned more towards favoring the Roman government. Sects like the Sadducees and the Pharisees. The Sadducees were religious leaders who believed firmly in the Torah, in the first five books of the Bible. But they aligned their interests with the Roman government against the people. The Pharisees were like the lawyers. They were like the scholars. They only existed for their own personal interest. It was no longer about God. It was no longer about God's will. It was about survival of the fittest. I'm going to go with the person that can pay me more. So, the Jews, those who did not belong to either this popular sect or class, were oppressed upon by the Roman government with the support of the scribes and the Pharisees. Especially among the lowly Jews, their only hope for redemption, their only hope for survival was the coming of a Messiah. They believed that a Messiah is going to come one day, a Messiah who is going to come and liberate them from their corrupt leaders, a Messiah who will come and free them from Roman oppression. These people spent night and day hoping and praying that God will send this Messiah. And so when Anna realized that indeed God had heard that prayer and the Messiah has been born, she went out to these people that she knew, the ones who were waiting for this day, and told them, God has heard our prayer. The Messiah has been born. Now, when I look at the attitude of Anna, I see a woman who, one, expressed true joy at the birth of Christ. But I also see a woman who had a heart for evangelism and missions and outreach. I see a woman who understood that the good news about Christ is not only meant to be celebrated within the walls of the temple or the church. It must go beyond that. And so as we have celebrated the birth of Christ, as we do in our culture, and all of that is past, and as we move on to the new year, the question is, how must we proceed? How must we move on in a way that will bring glory and honor to God? What can we learn from Anna that we can apply to our lives that will be in keeping with the Great Commission? That will be in keeping with what God has commanded us to do. And so when I look at this text, here's a message that I come up with that God wants me to communicate to you this morning. It is not enough to only rejoice at the news of Christ's birth. It's not enough. It's not enough to bring family together and have a wonderful time of fellowship. It's good. It should be done, but it's not enough. we must also speak of him to others in our community. So after we have celebrated his birth, after we have rejoiced and we, in different ways according to our culture, we've decorated our homes, we've put Christmas lights and Christmas trees everywhere, and we've cooked food, we've gone on vacation and all. After all that excitement is done, let's go and tell others in the community about the birth of Christ. Because that is what Anna did. And so the question I want to ask you this morning is, have you already considered a resolution, a New Year resolution? Every New Year, it's customary for many of us to make a resolution. Someone might say, I resolve to lose weight in 2020. Some might say, I resolve not to do this or not to do that. But I'd like to challenge you to seriously consider about making a resolution that in 2020, I will tell at least one person about the good news of Christ. That just like Anna went and spoke of him to others, I will go and speak of Christ to someone. It might be your neighbor. It might be your friends. It might be your colleagues at your place of work. It might be your spouse. It might be your children. It might be your extended family member. I want to challenge you and encourage you to make a resolution this year for 2020 that I will share the gospel with at least one person. Because that is what faithful men and women do. See the faithfulness of Anna. She was a woman who dedicated her life to the service of God. You see, those who truly dedicate their life to the service of God, they live for God. They whatever they do it not for their own interest, but for the interest of the advancement of God's kingdom. Why do you live? What is the purpose of your existence? Do you live for yourself or do you live for God? Well, I don't know about you, but I know what Paul said. Paul said, the life I now live is a life in Christ. Though I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Which means for Paul, if God were giving him an opportunity to see 2020, he would be saying, I live for Christ in 2020. I don't live for my job. I don't live for self. I don't live for nobody. I live for God. And if you live for God, then you want to share the good news about the birth of Christ to as many as you can. Because that's what those who are dedicated to the service of God do. You see, Anna, as proof of a woman who was dedicated to the service of God, she spent her entire time in the temple praying and fasting. You see, when you devote yourself to the spiritual disciplines, naturally you will be inclined to share the gospel with someone else. The reason why you find it hard, perhaps it's because you have not challenged yourself enough to devote yourself to prayer and fasting. Because when you devote yourself to prayer and fasting, God will break you. You will be free from self. When you devote yourself to prayer and fasting, you will be freed from the virus that is eating the society today. The virus of me, myself, and I. And you will be released into a realm that God wants you to be. The realms of love, the realm of compassion, the realm of care and concern for one another. Because you have experienced the joy of the Lord, you would want others in your family to experience the joy of the Lord. You want others in your community to experience the joy of the Lord. Because that's what happens to those who commit themselves to the service of the Lord. It was here that I told the story of a woman who, for several years, she was in the church. She was a godly woman. She knew the gospel. And every day, she celebrated Christmas with her friends and her family. But she never acted like Anna. She never told others about Christ. And one day, she was challenged through a missions conference through a sermon like this, and she decided that she was going to tell others about Jesus just like Anna did. And so she decided to go to her next door neighbor. She's been in that neighborhood for over 30 years, and she not once had she mentioned Christ or the gospel to her neighbor. But then she was challenged, she prayed for boldness and for the grace to speak. And she went to her neighbor and she told the neighbor that Jesus loved her and that if she would believe in Jesus today, she will not perish, but she will have an everlasting life. And the moment she said this gospel message with her neighbor, this neighbor broke down and she began to cry. And this woman couldn't understand why the neighbor was crying so bitterly. And after a while, this neighbor turned to her and said, "You are wicked. You are such a wicked person." And this neighbor was confused. "But I brought you the good news of Christ. How come you would say that I'm wicked to you?" And she continued crying and said, "You are wicked." And the neighbor was getting anxious. She wanted to know why this woman said she was wicked. And then she said, "So you've been in this neighborhood for all these years. You knew about this Jesus. I wish you came just 1 month ago before my John died. He would have heard this message too before he left this earth. You were here and John died and went to hell because you did not come and share the gospel of Christ." She knew the good news. She had the joy that Christ was born, but she failed to go speak of him to others in the community. And because of her, many others were dying and going to hell. I want to challenge you this morning. Make a resolution like Anna that I will not only rejoice at the birth of Christ, I will not only be thankful for the fact that Jesus is born, I will not only celebrate with my family that Jesus is born, I will go out to the community, I will go to my place of work, I will go to my neighborhood and share this good news with my friends, with my colleagues, with anyone that I come across, because that's what we do, those who dedicate themselves to the service of the Lord. You want to say to me, "Pastor Kame, how? What should I tell them? What about Christ should I share? What is this good news about Christ that I must tell those who are within my network? What is this news about Christ that I must share with those who are within my family?" I will tell you, I said, go and tell them that God the Father sent Jesus to the world to save us from sin. That whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. You don't have to be white before you are saved. You don't have to be black before you are saved. Regardless of your color, regardless of your social status, regardless of your nationality, whosoever believes in Jesus shall be saved. You can go and tell them the good news that Christ has come not to condemn the world, but that Christ has come to save the world. Go tell your friends, those who are living in homosexuality, those who are living in fornication and adultery, those who are living in drug addictions, who feel condemned, who feel that God cannot love them, who feel that God has, that there is no place for them in the household of God. Go and tell them the good news of Christ's birth, that Christ has not come to condemn them, that Christ has come to deliver them from sin, to deliver them from the shackles of homosexuality, to deliver them from the shackles of fornication and adultery and the sin of the flesh, and give them new life in Christ. Go and share the good news. Go tell them that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the light, that no one can come to the Father except through him. You cannot access God through the bottle of alcohol. You cannot access God through a wrap of crack. You cannot access God through believing in Muhammad or through believing in Buddha. You must believe in Jesus Christ for you to know and see the glory of the Lord. Go and spread the good news and tell them that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and life. Go and tell them that Jesus Christ is God, and whosoever sees him has seen the Father. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the perfect revelation of God. So go tell your Jehovah's Witness friends and neighbors and brothers that Jesus is not just a subordinate to God. That Jesus Christ is God. That when you believe in him, you believe in God. Go and spread the good news. Go tell them that Jesus Christ is our hope of glory. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, Paul said, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Go tell your friends who are struggling with depression that Jesus Christ is the hope of glory. Go tell those who are struggling with family challenges that Jesus Christ is the hope of glory. Go and spread the good news. Because how can they hear if there is no preacher? God has called you and I to be the preachers of this day and age. The songwriter says, let none hear you idly saying, there is nothing I can do, while the souls of men are perishing and the master is calling for you. We have been called to go and spread the good news. Go and spread the good news that Jesus Christ, even though he died 3 days after he rose up from the grave, and that he's alive. He's not dead. He's alive. And that God rose him up from the grave, and he's now seated at the right hand of God. And so because Jesus lives, because he's alive, there is hope for tomorrow. There is hope for the new year because Jesus lives. He knows what we have gone through in life. He knows what we are going through in life because he experienced life himself. He was tempted like each and every one of us. He was tried like every one of us. And so he is a better advocate. He can advocate for us. We got good news to share. We got good news to share. So don't stay silent when your neighbors are in need of this message. Don't stay silent when your colleagues are in need of this message. Don't stay silent when your family members are in need of this message. Go tell them, because Jesus lives, we all can see tomorrow. I'd like for us to stand up in meditation of this sermon. And we are going to sing the song, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. All fear is gone. As we march on into this new year, because he lives, we are sure that he will protect our family. Because he lives, he will be with us in our going out and in our coming in. Because he lives, he will protect us from danger. Because he lives, we've got a story to tell. We've got a message to share. And we've got a testimony to give. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know life is worth a living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. greater still. The calm assurance
this child can face uncertainty, because he lives. Because he lives,
I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds my future, and life is worth a living just because he lives. And then one day that river, I'll fight life's fire. No war with pain.
And then
give way to me.
I'll see the light of glory, and I know him. Your heads. As we round up the service, I'd like for you to think about the sermon. Think about your colleagues at your place of work, who you know have not given their lives to Christ. Think about your neighbors in the communities in which you live, who do not profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about your family members, maybe your children, your parents, your extended family, your aunts, your uncles, your nieces, your nephews, whom you know have not professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, God is calling you to make a resolution that in 2020, you will target at least one person of all these groups that I've mentioned and go to them. And be intentional about sharing the gospel. You don't have to come out. You don't have to come out. But I would like you to make that commitment here today. As you bow down your heads, pray to God and say, God, I promise, I commit that I will be intentional about sharing the news of Christ to at least one person. At least one person. For those of you who are ashamed, pray that God will give you boldness. For those of you who do not know what to say, don't worry about it. God will give you the words to say. Only avail yourself of the Holy Spirit to use you, and He will use you. Don't underestimate yourself, because one with God is majority. God is calling you. Will you make that resolution this morning to share the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to at least one person in your network. Father, thank you for that individual, these individuals who have made this commitment this morning. You know who they are right now, right here. I pray that you give them the grace that they need to really go through with this resolution. May more people get to know about the news about Christ because of their commitment. Thank you, Father, for this time of worship. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for this time of fellowship. And as we disperse from this place to our various homes, to our various activities, we pray, Jehovah God, that you will be with us. Go with us. And help us, Lord, to be a blessing to as many as we come across. May your name be glorified in our lives, Lord. May we leave this place better than we came. We trust you, God. Because the confidence we have when we stand before you in prayer is that whatever we ask, you will do it for us. And now to him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the mighty throne of God, be all glory, dominion, and power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.